السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We'll continue in our tafsir in the explanation of Surah Maryam from verse number 47 or 48. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأعتزلكم وما تدعون من دون الله وأدعو ربي عسى ألا أكون بدعاء ربي شقيا. إبراهيم عليه السلام is still dealing with his father. And we spoke in the last lecture about the different styles and different words he used with his father. Now, we're up to the part where he said, "And I shall turn away from you and from those who you invoke besides Allah. And I shall call upon my Lord, and I hope that I shall not be unblessed in my invocation to my Lord." Ibrahim alayhi salam here, he's showing his bara', his disallegiance from kufr and its people. And the iman of the individual is not complete and is not correct until he fulfills this obligation, and that is allegiance to the believers and to Allah and to the Messenger of Allah, and disallegiance to the kufr, the disbelief, and its people. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he got to the stage where his da'wah has reached a dead end, and he can no longer offer. It came to a dead end, especially after they threw him in the fire. And he did not turn towards this until he has done all that which Allah has commanded him to do from conveying the truth. So it's not, yani, the way of Ibrahim to leave before giving da'wah, before declaring the word of truth, and before making it clear towards people. So he turned away from the disbelievers and from disbelief. And he said, "I shall call upon my Lord," meaning, "I will not call upon what you call for. I do not worship what you worship. I do not ask whom you ask from. I will ask from Allah. I invoke and ask my Lord. And I hope I shall not be unblessed in my invocation to my Lord." Unblessed, meaning that he has not received the acceptance from Allah Azza wa Jal. And this happens where a person associates partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, and he has called upon that which is false. And this verse teaches us, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it teaches us that the opposite to what Ibrahim is doing now and what he said is the reason why you'll be unblessed. And that is calling besides Allah Azza wa Jal, asking others besides Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is also understood from the opposite. فَلَمَّا اعْتَزَلَهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَكُلًّا جَعَلْنَا نَبِيًّا. So when he had turned away from them and from those whom they worshipped besides Allah, we gave him Ishaq and Yaqub, and each of them we made a prophet. Allah Azza wa Jal is showing us the reward and showing us what was given in return to the sacrifice Ibrahim alayhi salam had. There's no person who leaves something for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, except that Allah will replace him with something better. This is a promise from Allah Azza wa Jal. وَهَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ Is the reward of goodness except goodness? This is in paradise. But even on earth, Allah will give that person something in return. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was gifted with something in return. What was it? Or many things. From it, Allah Azza wa Jal, He gifted him with sons who became prophets, and then grandsons who became prophets. Ishaq is the father of Yaqub. Yes, he was mentioned here along with Yaqub as a son, but he is actually the grandson. Yaqub is the grandson of Ishaq. And this is to show you the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal upon Ibrahim, is that he made in his offspring with his grandchildren prophets. And then he said, وَكُلًّا جَعَلْنَا نَبِيًّا And each of them we made a prophet.
وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيًّا
And we gave them our mercy. وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا We gave them of our mercy. Who is it referring to here? The three that were mentioned before. Ibrahim, Ishaq, and Yaqub. And then he said, وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيًّا We're talking about the favors and the rewards of Allah upon these people. The rahmah, the provision of Allah of rahmah was given to them. And here we're not talking about the rahmah from the aspect of the akhirah only. No, the rahmah even in this world from Allah Azza wa Jal upon them. And he said, وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيًّا And we granted them honor on their tongues. The honor here was the honor of having truthful tongues. Tongues that remember Allah Azza wa Jal and speak only the truth. And this is the description that we all should attain. And that is having a tongue that only speaks the truth. And the best of truth that you can say is the words of Allah and the remembrance of Allah and calling towards Allah Azza wa Jal. And all that which is in support and accordance to what Allah Azza wa Jal said and His Prophet said. This is the word of truth.
وَاذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مُوسَى إِنَّهُ كَانَ مُخْلَصًا وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا
And mention in the book, this Quran, Musa. Again, we're moving from one prophet to the other. Allah Azza wa Jal is teaching us and telling us about the prophets here. And He's giving us something about every one of them. He said, and mentioned in the book, this Quran, Musa, verily he was chosen and he was a messenger and a prophet. Verily he was a messenger and a prophet. Before I go on to the last part of the verse, let's talk about the part where he said Mukhlas. In another recitation, it was Mukhlis. Mukhlas, Mukhlis. There's a difference between the two. Would anyone like to share it with us? What's the difference between mukhlas and mukhlis? And both recitations have been reported. Mukhlas is someone who was chosen. Even the ulama added mukhlas, meaning someone who was saved, protected, min al-khalas, min al-najah. He was saved. Mukhlis means he's someone who is sincere and pure. And both descriptions befit the Prophet Musa alayhi salam and all prophets. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, "In wadhkur fil kitabi Musa, innahu kana mukhlasa wa kana rasulan nabiyya." And he was a messenger and a prophet.
وَنَادَيْنَاهُ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ الْأَيْمَنِ وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ نَجِيًّا.
And we called him from the right side of the mount of At-Tur and made him draw near to us for a talk with him. Now At-Tur is a mountain. Scholars do differ whereabouts exactly is it. Is it in Sina, which is in Egypt? Or is it in Al-Hijaz, which is Saudi Arabia? There's difference of opinion over this. And had it been something important and something in which there's benefit in it that brings us closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal would have revealed it to us. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have revealed it. He would have explained it to us. All we know is it's Janib al-Tur, al-Ayman. It's the right side of the mount of al-Tur. And al-Tur has been mentioned in the Quran elsewhere. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ الْأَيْمَنِ. And we called him from the right side of al-Tur. And the story of Musa, you all know it. When he went to it, when he saw a fire, and he went in hope that he will be able to bring light from it, or to get some news from it. Perhaps people will be there and he'll get some news. And when he got there, he was called by Allah Azza wa Jal, and he was addressed by Allah. You all know the story. And he was the prophet in which Allah Azza wa Jal drew him near to him. Meaning he brought him close to a position that others weren't given. And that is that he spoke directly to him without anyone in between. And this was something that Musa alayhi salam was blessed with. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also blessed with in the journey of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ نَجِيًّا. And we brought him close to us, and he was saved and protected. And he was يعني close to Allah Azza wa Jal.
وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا أَخَاهُ هَارُونَ نَبِيًّا.
And we granted him his brother Harun, also a prophet out of mercy. وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ. Again, we're hearing the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal upon these prophets, one after the other. And before I go on to this verse, brothers, if there's a reason why these verses are repeated and repeated, and you've seen the favors of Allah upon the prophets, and, it's to show you how Allah Azza wa Jal never forsaked any of the prophets and messengers. And He will never forsake anyone who walks their path. Every one of them was someone who was blessed. Every one of them was someone who was honored. He was given gifts by Allah Azza wa Jal. And by them being blessed by Allah Azza wa Jal, they received everything. Meaning they were given the greatest of honor and the greatest of power and the greatest of mercy, the greatest of provisions. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about Musa still. He said, and we granted him his brother Harun. Yani we joined him with his brother in the mission of prophethood. And Harun, for your reference, the reports do say he was older than Musa alayhi salam. But he was known to have an eloquent tongue. He had a tongue that was very well spoken. And he asked Musa alayhi salam, he asked Allah Azza wa Jal that Harun will be his partner in prophethood because of his great tongue that he had, and also to get the support from his brother and the aid from his brother.
واذكر في الكتاب إسماعيل إنه كان صادق الوعد وكان رسولا نبيا.
And mention in the book, the Quran, Ismail. Verily he was true to what he promised. صادق الوعد. And he was a messenger and a prophet. Allah Azza wa Jal described him by a character which is great. Besides him being a messenger and a prophet, he was someone who was truthful to what he promises. He was someone who would stick to his word. And this is a character that Allah Azza wa Jal loves. Except where it's to do the haram. Except where it's to do that which is against the Quran and the Sunnah. Everywhere else, it's a good thing. But where it's to do the haram, it's a bad thing. And to break that promise is a good thing at that time. To leave it and to break that promise is a good thing. And that is to do that which Allah Azza wa Jalla loves. And that is to abandon falsehood and to abandon evil. So Ismail alayhi salam was described to be a man who was true to his promise. And we can see the great example here when his father asked him, إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. I see in my dreams, and I have seen in my dreams, that I am slaughtering you. So what do you say? قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. He said, oh my father, do what you have been commanded. You will find me of those who are patient. Here the ulama give an example to how he was truthful to what he promises. You will find me inshallah from the patient. And he did not hesitate at all. And they say that he was a man, if he was to promise someone to meet him, he will wait for days. He will wait for days until he comes. That's how truthful he was with his promise. Being truthful to your promise is what we have been commanded to do, and doing the opposite was made as a description to the hypocrites. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ. And if he was to promise, he breaks it. He breaks his promise. Allah Azza wa Jal, he himself was described to be someone who sticks to his promise. Allah Azza wa Jal described himself in several verses in the Quran that he sticks to his promise. وَلَا يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ. Allah will not break his promise. And this is something that shows you how يعني, it's important. If Allah Azza wa Jal described himself like that, and Rasulullah was described like that, and he commanded us to be like that, it's because it's important. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ. He was true to what he promised, and he was a messenger and a prophet.
وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًّا.
And he used to enjoin on his family and his people as-salah, the prayers, and the zakah. And his Lord was pleased with him. Here, أهل وكان يأمر أهله بالصلاة. He will command his people. Was referring to all those people from his tribe. He will command them and his close relatives. And these were his surroundings. And if there were more people, he would have commanded them all. So it's not to limit it down that Wallah Ismail, all he worried about was his family and that's it. No. His family was part of it. His direct family and his tribe, Junhum. And if there were others, he would have done the same. Not only did he call them to it, but he established a prayer in between them. And he used to command them with the zakah. وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًّا. And his Lord was pleased with him. Pleased with him, heke, for no reason. Was it a gift without Ismail alayhi salam deserving it? No. He was someone who did what pleased Allah Azza wa Jal. And as a result, Allah was pleased with him. So he was doing the reasons and following the steps that will make him deserve the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal is not something light or something yani, where it's insignificant. If Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with a servant, he has gained everything. He's gained it all. Everything that is good, he's gained it. And if Allah is angry with a person, then he's lost everything, even when he's got everything in his hands. So he was someone who was described, وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًّا. And he was someone whom his Lord was pleased with.
وَاذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِدْرِيسِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا.
And mention in the book, the Quran, Idris. Verily he was a man of truth and a prophet. Idris, they say, he's the grandfather of Nuh alayhi salam. And he's the first of messengers. And this, I've stopped at it in Tafsir ibn Kathir and other tafsir. I am not sure if they have verified it, but it's said. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Idris was also someone who was given great virtues, great blessings from Allah Azza wa Jal, and rewards, which we'll talk about it soon. His description was that he was a man of truth. Again, you see in the description of the prophets that they were men of truth. And subhanAllah, brothers, no person who was brought closer to Allah Azza wa Jal was known to be a liar. All of them were given this description, that they were people of truth. Siddiqan Nabiya, and he was a prophet.
وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا.
And we raised him to a high station. They said even while he was alive, he was raised to the fourth heaven. And when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was raised into the when he went up into his journey of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, he saw Idris in the fourth heaven. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla described him by, and that is that he was given a high station.
أولئك الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين من ذرية آدم وممن حملنا مع نوح ومن ذرية إبراهيم وإسرائيل وممن هدينا واجتبينا إذا تتلى عليهم آيات الرحمن خروا سجدا وبكيا.
Those were they to whom Allah bestowed His grace from among the prophets. أولئك الذين أنعم الله عليهم. Those were they to whom Allah bestowed His grace from the prophets of the offsprings of Adam and of those whom we carried in the ship with Nuh, and of the offsprings of Ibrahim and Israel, and from among those whom we guided and chose. When the verses of the Most Gracious Allah were recited to them, they fell down prostrate and weeping. We can see here whom Allah Azza wa Jalla described to be the ones who Allah has favored and those whom Allah Azza wa Jalla showed His grace to. Before I move on, This ayah does have a sajda. And this sajda, since we have stopped at this topic, it is, according to the correct view, Allahu Ta'ala A'lam, it is a sunnah, not an obligation. And that doesn't mean that we should not do it. And in Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an, once he was giving a khutbah, and he recited a verse where there's sujood, and he went down and did his sujood, and he went back. And then another time, he recited a verse that has a sujood, and the people came to do the sajda, and he said that this was made optional to us. So the sujood of a tilawa is something optional. It's not obligatory. And when I say optional, it doesn't mean that, wallahi, that we should leave it. Yani, whenever you can do it, do it. And when there's lessons and such things happening, yani, a person would look at the state and what's best for time and place. طيب. He, in this verse, just for your reference, Allah Azza wa Jal said, "Min dhurriyati Adam," from the offspring of Adam. This did leave mufassirun and scholars with the argument that were they prophets sent from other than Adam, meaning from the jinn? And why is it specifically from Adam mentioned here? This verse was the reason why those who said that they were from the jinn messengers, this is the verse what they based it on. And this is a topic, by the way, that is lengthy. What we do know for sure is that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to both. He was sent to both humans and to jinn. And the prescription of the ibadat that were given to them, and what I mean by this is a detailed prescription of how, is something that we can't be for certain that it's like us. But they have been commanded to pray and to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, just like we have been commanded. But as to the particulars of how, this is something that we do not speak about. And as for other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a topic in which there's debate in it. There's room for argument in it, and there's no harm in either two of the opinions. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And it doesn't cause a person to become from the people of bid'ah. But this is what one of the ayat that they based it on. إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ الرَّحْمَانِ خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًّا. If the words of Allah, the Most Gracious, were recited to them, they fell down prostrate and weeping. This was the reaction of the prophets and those whom Allah Azza wa Jal favored. And that is that they responded to the Quran with fear, with submission, with love, with immediate response of worship. At that moment, straight away into sujood. And they would cry. Here, I want to stop you with you for a few moments, brothers. And I find this to be from the aspects that are missing in our times. And that is the aspect of missing khushu', humility in our ibadah. Especially when we're reading the Quran or hearing the Quran. It's a very frightening state. Is that subhanAllah, we hardly are moved by the Quran. Words and words and words are recited, and probably no effect. And this is a very, yani, dangerous thing. A very, very dangerous thing. And really, it's not for a person to go and fake it. Because faking it is also a dangerous thing. Yes, you should really force yourself to respond. You should really dig deep into your heart. Look for those meanings that you are missing and really reflect and ponder with your mind. You are meant to do that, but to fake it is not what you have been commanded to do. Now, this khushu' Why is it missing in our lives? Why is it that we don't find this khushu' in our lives? One of the very, very important reasons why khushu' is missing in our lives is that our hearts have been covered with the effect of sins. It has been blackened to the extent that the light of the Quran has become weaker and weaker in our hearts. And this heart of ours, if you do not purify it and clean it, you will only allow it to die. And then there will be no difference between a rock and in your heart. The two will be no different. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is how He described the hearts of the Jews. فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً It's like the rocks, or even harder than the rocks. Why? Because from the rocks is that which would split, and water will gush out from it. That's what Allah is saying. And He said, from it is that which will descend from the mountains out of the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the hearts that we have, may Allah protect it, if we do not clean it and purify it, it will be even harder than the stones. The hearts that are not moved to the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla in this world, it will be forced to move on the day of resurrection. And the fire was not created but to melt those hard hearts. The fire was not created but to melt those hard hearts. So may Allah protect our hearts from that. Crying from the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla is from the great, great things that Allah loves. Two eyes will not be touched by the fire. Two eyes. An eye that stood on guard fi sabilillah, in which we all excluded from our lives straight away. And an eye that teared in the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. From the people that will be shaded on the day when there is no shade but His shade, is a person who remembered Allah Azza wa Jal in secret and his eyes were teary. Crying in the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal and allowing his heart to move is the cause why Allah Azza wa Jal will have mercy on you. Just like your mother would not leave you when you cry without giving you something that she can help with, Allah will do even greater than that, because He is your Lord, and to Him belong the best of examples. So let us look for this in our lives, brothers, the aspect of khushu'. Wallahi, I'll tell you one thing, I find that many of us, subhanAllah, will be more concerned about topics which may not bring about any benefit in our lives. And we argue and argue and argue and argue about it. But subhanAllah, that same person may have a dead heart and he does not move for it. Subhanallah, if your heart was to race a little bit and you feel that race in your heart, or you find that your blood pressure has dropped suddenly, you find that you'll be rushed to the hospital. And you would really make sure that you are being taken care of. And if it's a friend of yours or a loved one, you'll be so worried about them. But subhanAllah, when it comes to our hearts, we hardly move. We hardly move, brothers. This is something that we need to look for in our lives, brothers. We have to look for it. With it you find the sweetness of worship. With it you find the beauty of Islam. With it you find the sweetness of the Quran.
فخلف من بعدهم خلف أضاعوا الصلاة واتبعوا الشهوات فسوف يلقون غيا.
Then there has succeeded them a posterity who have given up a salah. The people who came after them, who have given up the salah. SubhanAllah. meaning here, either given it up all together, they lost their prayers, meaning they've given up the prayer altogether. And here, I say to those who do not pray, yani, isn't it enough that Allah Azza wa Jal here is mentioning the one who doesn't pray in the context of those who are criticized? Regardless if you want to say he's a kafir or not a kafir, whether we want to sit there and accept this argument or not, and we all know the correct view on this topic, and that is what Rasulullah said. But let's say, akhi, you want to be of those who want to be light and easy, and it doesn't bring you out of the fold of Islam. Isn't it enough that you are described of those who have lost their salah? And you are in the context of those who have lost their salah? And listen to the punishment that is described to such people. May Allah protect us from being like that. أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ, and they followed their desire. Subhanallah. Notice the sequence of it. أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ, they lost their prayer. وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. Allah Azza wa Jal could have said to us, firstly, اتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ وَأَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ, they followed their desires and left their prayer. Now he said, firstly, they lost their prayers. And by the way, I didn't finish up what I was saying before. Either they left it altogether, or they left praying it on time, or they missed the most important part of the salah, and that is the khushu'. They lost their salah, which is an obligation to have in your salah, by the way, according to the view of Ibn Taymiyyah, and that is the most correct view due to the evidences supporting that. And it's a lengthy topic, but the conclusion of it, you will find that it's an obligation to have it. So the point is, أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ, and they followed their desires. But could have been in reverse. He could have said they left, they followed their desires, and lost their praise. Why is it that he mentioned in this order? Because when a person leaves his salah, he has left himself in the mercy of the shaitan. He's left himself in the care of desires. And when he left the most important aspect of the arkan, one of the most important, he only allowed himself to head towards that and to be of those who follow their desires. If you look and reflect on the ahadith that speak about salah, you make sense between it. You would understand this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, As-salatu imadu ad-din. Man aqamaha aqama ad-din. Wa man hadamaha hadam ad-din. The salah is the pillar of Islam. Imad, the pillar of Islam. Whoever establishes it have established his deen. And whoever he knocked it and did not establish it, then he has destroyed his deen. Why? Why is it? Because with salah, you have a connection with your Lord. You have this continuous dua that you repeat throughout the day. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. You have this reminder to yourself throughout the day that you are a slave of Allah. You are a slave of Allah. Because with the salah, you still have the upper hand over the shaitan. With the salah, Allah is forgiving your sins. With the salah, Allah is strengthening your iman. With the salah, you are still from the believers. With the salah, you are deserving the promise of paradise, and so on. وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ, shahawat here, they followed their desires. Okay? And following the desires is something that has been rebuked in the Quran. We're not saying, Allah did not say that they fulfilled their desires, because this is where it would have been a different scenario. If he was to say to us, and they fulfilled their desires, it would have been then sinful for you to fulfill your desire. It would have been something bad. He said, no, that they followed their desires. They made their desires the judge, the guide. Everything that their desire wanted, they did it. They didn't ask, did Allah approve this? Did Muhammad approve this or not? This is where the dangers of it is. So, fulfilling your desires is not haram, so long that it's in the halal. What was rebuked was you fulfilling your desires where it's in the haram. It's where you allow your desires to be the judge. And this is where Allah Azza wa Jal praised people when He said, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And He forbade Himself from what it desires. Here it was where it desires other than that which Allah approves. He went against it. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Then paradise will be the abode for that person. So, and it's important that we understand this. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. They will surely be thrown in hellfire. Ghay was described by Ibn Abbas to be a wadi fi jahannam, a valley in the fire. Other mufassirun said it's a well in the fire. And both can be accepted. Why? Because a valley is a low point. And the well is the lower point of the lowest. So the lower of the lower. And that could happen. And we find that a lot of the times water is found in the valleys. You have to, if you want to dig, you will go somewhere, well, not where it's very, very high. Rather, you'll go somewhere where it's low, to get closer to the water. And in Jahannam, that's only a worse punishment. So going back, the one who's losing his salah and following his desire, may Allah protect us, he's someone who is in the context of being of those who Allah said, they will see surely, they will meet surely a punishment in hellfire, which is a wadi or a well in Jahannam.
إِلَّا مَن تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا.
From the mercy of Allah, from the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the great knowledge of Allah in calling people, he doesn't only threaten and warn you, but he also gives you hope. He says, after he mentioned that, what we heard before about the punishment and so on, he said, except those who repent and believe. Except for those who repent and believe in the oneness of Allah and His Messenger and all that which they have been commanded to accept. And not only that, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and work righteousness. Now even here we find that Allah has just mentioned Aman wa amila salihah. He believed and did righteous things, to emphasize on the importance of correcting of what's in the heart and what's acted on the limbs. And it could have been enough. Or I'm not going to say it could have been enough, because then we'll say that Allah Azza wa Jal said it uselessly. Allah could have said إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنْ, and stop there. But to give us the importance of working righteous deeds, He mentions after the belief, doing righteous deeds. And this comes to every person who wants to leave action and follow his whims and desires and say Iman's in the heart. We say the verse and many other verses describe Iman to be what's in the heart and what's acted on the limbs. It's the word and the actions of the heart and the limbs. And this verse is one of those examples to it. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. Surely, such people shall enter paradise. وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. And they will not be wronged in aught. They will not be wronged at all. Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't even oppress the kafir. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't even oppress the kafir. Here he mentioned to us, وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا, and they will not be oppressed at all, to show you that the scales at the end of the day is not in this world where you may be oppressed by others and wronged by others. The real scales is where you are protected on the day of resurrection, and there is nothing upon you, because you are not of those who deserve the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. But the opposite is also correct, and that is they are treated by Allah Azza wa Jal with great bounty from Him, great grace from Him, and favors from Him. If Allah Azza wa Jal wanted, He could have ordered us to worship Him, and that's it. But تَفَضُّلًا مِنْهُ, as a favor from Him, He has promised a return for what you do. And we worship Allah Azza wa Jal in hope for that which He has promised in return.
جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ الَّتِي وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنُ عِبَادَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ وَعْدُهُ مَأْتِيًّا.
They will enter Jannat Adn, gardens that are everlasting, beautiful gardens, which the Most Gracious Allah has promised to His slaves in the unseen. وَالَّتِي وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنُ عِبَادَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. He promised them in the unseen. They haven't seen it. And this here reminds me of the verse, of the hadith of Rasulullah, where he mentions that there are angels that seek gatherings. And when they find gatherings of remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, they sit in that gathering. And then they report to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah knows where they were. And He will ask them. One of the things He will ask is what they ask. What are they seeking? And they will say, your paradise. And Allah will say, and have they seen my paradise? They would say, La Ya Rab, no, our Lord. He said, what will happen if they were to see it? The point is, this is where the challenge is. People at the end of the day are trialed and tested when they believe in the unseen. Because on the day of resurrection, every person will see the reality of everything that has been mentioned about paradise, no, meaning that he will know for sure paradise is real, and he will know it for sure that hell is real. And he will know it for sure that Allah is one, and he will know it for sure that the messages were sent. And he will know for sure about the angels and the shayateen, and. But that's not where that's not where the benefit will be for that person. The benefit is where you believe, yet you have not seen. Why do you believe? It's because you have seen the signs that lead to Him. And you've realized that all this is a sign that this is all true. What Allah has sent is the truth. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says to us about the disbeliever. Even the believer will see this, but it was mentioned in the context of threatening. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. Your sight today will be sharp. When at the time of death, the sight will be sharp. Sharp, knowing that the reality is something which he was ignoring and denying. He's seen now the reality, the truth. So may Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those who have this true belief in the unseen, so that we can deserve the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal, of paradise. إِنَّهُ كَانَ وَعْدُهُ مَأْتِيًّا. Verily, His promise must come to pass. Must come. And this is from the things that bring about assurance to the believers in comfort, that the promise of Allah will happen. It must happen. There's no doubt about it.
لا يسمعون فيها لغوا إلا سلاما ولهم رزقهم فيها بكرة وعشيا.
They shall not hear therein in paradise any lagu. Lagu is dirty, false, evil, vain talk. Lagu is all that which brings about يعني bad to the heart or the ears. You don't like to hear it. Whether it's swearing or speaking the evil or lying or so on, you don't get that in paradise. And this is a great blessing, brothers. It's a great reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla to these people. وَلَهُمْ رِزْقُهُمْ فِيهَا بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيَّةً. And they will have therein their sustenance morning and afternoon. Hala, in paradise, we all know, as Rasulullah reported to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there's no day and night in paradise. How do we understand the verse where Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَلَهُمْ رِزْقُهُمْ فِيهَا بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيَّةً. Scholars gave different يعني, explanations here. And it's from the areas of ijtihad. Ijtihad, where they strived to give the explanation to this. And it's one of the areas where they are allowed to do so. Otherwise, the Salaf would not have spoken about it. Some of them said there's a curtain that will be drawn down. It's not like the curtains that we see. No, it's a curtain that is of a different to what you ever imagined, that will be drawn down at the time of the evening. Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, there will be a light from the throne that changes its color. And again, we're talking about the most beautiful of lights, if it's the case, if it's a light. Meaning that this is what's meant by Bukratan wa Ashiyah. It's the most beautiful of light. When you sit there and watch the sunset, it's this image that really puts you into relaxation and makes you really contemplate and reflect over the great beauty in the creation of Allah. So what can we say about paradise? So there is no day or night in reality. It is something which is known to Allah, and people, the scholars differed about exactly what it is. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, it is the light. And there is a hadith that supports that. But this hadith, there are ulama who I believe that had some talk about it. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.
تلك الجنة التي نورث من عبادنا من كان تقيا.
Such is the paradise which we shall give as an inheritance to those of our slaves who have been pious. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying such paradise will be inherited to those of our slaves who have been from the muttaqeen. Inheritance. So is there inheritance in the hereafter? Yes, there is. What is the inheritance in the hereafter? Paradise or hell. The greatest of inheritance, whether it's good or bad. The greatest good or the greatest bad. The believer will inherit the place of the kafir in paradise too. And the kafir will inherit the place of the believer in hellfire, if he was to go to hellfire. And the hadith is authentic about this. Every person has his place in paradise and hell. And when you are deserving to go to paradise, and when a believer goes to paradise, he inherits also besides the share of the kafir that he missed out on it. And he abandoned it and left it.
وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا.
And we, referring to the angels, descend not except by the command of your Lord, O Muhammad. What happened here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What happened? Jibreel delayed from coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from descending. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam missed him. So when he came, he said to Jibreel that you have took so long that you made me miss you. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed this to him, that we do not descend except by the command of your Lord. And this was used as evidence by the ulama that the angels do not move freely in the heavens. They move by the command of Allah in the heavens. They cannot go from one sky to the other freely. they move by the command of Allah from one sky to the other. And you can reflect over the hadith that speaks about the soul of the believer when it goes up into the heavens and the doors will be knocked. This shows you that there is a very perfect system in place in the heavens and in the earth. In the earth, it's like that. Nothing happens except by the command of Allah, by the allowance of Allah Azza wa Jalla for it to happen. There is a report that it was said, even the reports say that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had the kuffar speaking and thinking about him wrong because Jibreel delayed the descending, or he was delayed because Allah did not command him to come down. And the reports vary, but they all agree on the fact that it's referring to the angel Jibreel, and that was due to him delaying his descendants to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا. To him belongs what is before us and what is behind us. What is before us is the مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا is what is the, in this life, our life here. This belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. This world belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay? And the hereafter. Others said the present, the past, and the future. And all of them are correct. All of them are correct. All this belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ and what is between those two. And your Lord is never forgetful. And this is to teach Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to teach us all that Allah Azza wa Jal does not forget. Yani, if Jibreel did not come down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not because Allah forgot to send him down. And of course, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't of those who think like this. It's an affirmation and a denial. An affirmation to the fact that Allah never forgets, and a denial to the fact that He forgets. Denying that He forgets and affirming that He is well acquainted with everything. So I hope we are all understanding this part. And all that which has been revealed to us from the halal and the haram was by the knowledge of Allah. And whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla went quiet about wasn't due to His forgetfulness, but it was out of His mercy. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us this. That Allah Azza wa Jal, that whatever he went quiet about, the hadith is authentic, whatever he went quiet about was out of His mercy. And Allah Azza wa Jal is not forgetful.
رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فَاعْبُدْهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا.
The Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that is in between them. So worship Him alone and be constant and patient in His worship. وَاسْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ. He didn't say وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَىٰ عِبَادَتِهِ. No. وَاسْطَبِرْ, which is a higher level of just being patient. And that is being consistent with the patience. Continuous with your patience. Al-istibar is to be consistent with your patience. It's like the word, or similar, another word that shows you that the need for increased patience. Wasabiru. Sabiru, and increase your patience. And you need all this when you are worshiping Allah Azza wa Jal. The path of Allah Azza wa Jal is a path that is filled with challenges and trials and tests and hardships. And you need to be very patient if you want to gain the high levels in paradise. وَاسْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا. Do you know anyone who is similar to him? Of course, there is no one similar or co-equal or comparable to him, and he has none as partner with him. There is nothing like him, and he is the all-hearer, the all-seer. There's nothing like him, no one like him. هل تعلم له سمية? Do you know anyone like him? No. There is no one like Allah Azza wa Jalla. No one is like him in any way, in any form. He is the most high, and he is the most powerful, and he is the one who all the beautiful names and attributes belong to him. The one who is free from all imperfections, and the one who has all the perfect names and attributes. We're almost finished, brothers, because next week I do want to finish before Ramadan. So we're still in the shades of the Quran. Don't feel any boredom. Reflect over the words, and a few more verses and we'll stop here.
ويقول الإنسان أإذا ما مت لسوف أخرج حيا.
And men, referring to the disbeliever, says, when I am dead, shall I then be raised up alive? Shall I be raised up alive when I am dead? What a question. It's more like saying, do I exist? Is it a question that you can have doubt about when it comes to your Lord, to Allah Azza wa Jal?
أَوَلَا يَذْكُرُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَمْ يَكُ شَيْئًا.
Does not man remember that we created him before while he was nothing? You were nothing real in terms of that had its weight. You were nothing.
هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا.
Didn't a time come to the son of Adam where he was something, or he was nothing to be mentioned? You were nothing, I was nothing. Like, is it hard for the one who created us from nothing? From a very small part. Is it hard for him to resurrect you? La wallah. It's actually easier. It's actually easier, and everything is easy for Allah Azza wa Jal. But comparing the two, as the Quran mentions, that this is something easier for Allah Azza wa Jal. But as I as mentioned previously, nothing is considered to be difficult to Allah.
فَوَرَبِّكَ لَنَحْشُرَنَّهُمْ وَالشَّيَاطِينَ ثُمَّ لَنُحْضِرَنَّهُمْ حَوْلَ جَهَنَّمَ جِثِيًّا.
So by your Lord, surely we shall gather them together, and also the shayateen, all the humans and the shayateen. Then we shall bring them round hell on their knees.
ثُمَّ لَنَنْزِعَنَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شِيعَةٍ أَيُّهُمْ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الرَّحْمَنِ عِتِيًّا.
Then indeed, we shall drag out from every sect all those who were worst in obstinate rebellion against the Most Gracious. They will be taken before the eyes of people, in front of them, and thrown into the hellfire. And there is a hadith that speaks about the hellfire on the day of resurrection raging. And it will speak. And then it will be saying that I have been commanded to take. And it mentions specific types of people. These are the people that are going to be snatched before everyone.
ثم لنحن أعلم بالذين هم أولى بها صليا.
Then verily we know best those who are most worthy of being burnt therein. Allah knows them, who they are. Those who are deserving of the, who are worthy, or those who are most worthy of being burnt therein.
وَإِن مِّنكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا
كان على ربك حتما مقضيا.
There is not one of you but will pass over it, the hellfire. This is with your Lord a decree which must be accomplished. Every person will pass over the hellfire. And the scholars here also gave different explanations to this ayah. And Allahu A'lam, يعني, if they are all correct, and they have been referenced. One of them is that people will be, that the people will go into the fire, even the believers. This is one of the explanations that they gave. And they did raise it to Ibn Abbas. And the most correct is that they will pass over it. But I'll give you some of the explanations about it. One of them said that everyone will enter the fire. But the believers will be protected from being burnt. Just like Ibrahim alayhi salam was protected from being burnt. And the believers will be saved. And the kuffar and those who were deserving the fire at that time will be kneeling on their, they'll be on their knees and they'll be left there. The other one was that they will pass over the hellfire. And you all know about this one, which is a sirat, which is a bridge that is made over the hellfire, and everyone will pass over it.
ثُمَّ نُنَجِّي الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَنَذَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًّا.
Before I go on to that, just in case I forgot the previous one, this is regarding what I said before, what Allah said, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا, and there's not of you anyone but will pass over it, the hell. This is with your Lord a decree which must be accomplished. It's going to happen. The ulama said something about this. I didn't want to go without mentioning it. And they said, it's a promise from Allah that you will pass it. Even others said that you will enter. But it wasn't promised that you will leave it. And Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he saw a man sitting carelessly, laughing and laughing and laughing. He said, did you know that Allah promised that every one of us will enter the fire? And have you been given the protection where you will enter, leave it? Meaning, have you, just like it was promised that you will enter, have you been promised that you will leave it? This was Hassan al-Basri saying it regarding this. But it's a promise from Allah. And the most correct view, Allah Ta'ala A'lam, is that it's the bridge. But the others have been referenced and mentioned by the ulama. But it seems like this is the most accurate, Wallahu Ta'ala A'lam. And that is that this is referring to the bridge that is over the hellfire. Wallahu Ta'ala A'lam. The verse that I recited earlier, then we shall save those who used to fear Allah and were dutiful to Him. And we shall leave the zalimun, the polytheists and the wrongdoers therein, humbled to their knees in hell. وَنَذَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًّا. We'll stop here at this verse, inshaAllah, bi-ithnillah, by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. I will finish it off, the surah, next week. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to benefit us for this Qur'an, to make it light for us, a guide for us to paradise. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make it a witness for us on the day of resurrection, and not to make it a witness against us on the day of resurrection. Anything that I said that's wrong is from myself and the shaitan. Allah is free from it and innocent from it. And His messenger is also free from it and innocent from it. And I would welcome any advice if I have said something that I incorrectly stated. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Assalamu alaikum. Brothers, by the way, if you have any questions, you may ask now. Not that for you.